Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, and welcome to EAN Cast, Weekly Neurology, the weekly audio podcast of EAN. My name is Alicia González Martínez, and I'm a neurologist and physician scientist with a special interest in headache, working at Hospital Universitario de la Princesa, Madrid, and part of the board of the Future Headache Experts, FHG, of the EHF, European Headache Federation. This month's topic is headache, and in today's episode, we will talk about recommendations on organizing headache care, how to increase access and offer value-based healthcare in headache. My distinguished guest today is Professor Christian Lampel. Professor Lampel is head of the Department of Neurology at the Covent Hospital Barmensiek-Bruder, Linz, Austria. He is past president of the EHF and the current director of the SAS School of Advanced Studies, the educational platform of EHF. He's a well-known expert in headache field and very well published. Welcome, Professor Lampel, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Alicia. Nice to meet you.
Well, organizing effective healthcare presents a critical challenge in modern healthcare systems, and with headache ranking as one of the most common neurological disorders globally, they can significantly impact quality of life and impose substantial economic burdens on societies due to loss of productivity and healthcare costs. The present podcast is poised to address these issues by exploring strategies to enhance the accessibility and efficiency of headache management. This topic is particularly relevant as healthcare systems increasingly shift towards value-based models, which emphasize patient outcomes and cost-effectiveness rather than volume of services delivered. By focusing on headache care, this podcast aims to offer actionable recommendations that can improve care delivery, optimize resource utilization, and ultimately enhance patient well-being. Therefore, I would like to propose some questions to Professor Lampel on this topic. First of all, regarding organization of headache clinics, what would be the ideal structure and main profiles, including the roles and responsibilities of various healthcare professionals typically involved in the organization of a healthcare clinic?
Yeah, that's a very important question and really hard to answer, because I always say that the optimal world does not really exist. However, I think what should be very important is that we should focus on a three-tiered system for headache healthcare provision, as it was recently proposed also by the Global Campaign Against Headache. I think this such a three-tiered system is reliant on improved training of healthcare providers at level one, and reserves limited specialist care for individuals with the most complex and difficult to treat headache disorders. In my opinion, the level one should be or should include primary care physician, let me say clinical officers, co-workers, and nurses. All of them should be trained in the diagnosis of headache disorders and distinguishing primary and secondary headache. Without given this ideal world, probably the management of and initiation of first-line medication for common primary headache disorders would be sufficient. I think the most important thing in that issue is the training. And this is could be done in different ways. But I think that, like the SAS school that we have from European Headache Federation, is one of the appropriated schools to do such a training for clinicians, and probably also we can extend it also to for nurses, because we need that in this level one. In the level two, there should be physicians, not necessarily neurologists, but they should have additional theoretical and practical training on management of some complex primary and secondary headache disorders. And the third level should be fully trained specialist physicians, should be ideal neurologists in academic medical or headache centers who offer advanced medical care of complex or rare primary headache disorders, and of course all secondary headaches, and mentoring and training to level one and two providers. So this would be my ideal world for organization of a headache clinic. As far as my person is concerned, I am director of a tertiary headache center. So we deal exclusively at the level three with more or less what I would say complicated headache, primary and secondary headache disorders, patient with medication overuse, detox programs, etc. So this would be my ideal world.
Perfect. Thank you very much for your insights. So in your experience, how can integration of headache care services into existing healthcare systems improve access for patients and potentially lower costs?
This is also, in my opinion, a stepwise approach, because what we have now is the first barrier is community misperceptions regarding headache. So the patients should recognize that headache is a medical disorder amenable to treatment. If we have the patient took the decision to seek care, then we can better work together, all these healthcare workers recognizing headache as a medical disorder. We can treat them and we can work together in all these fields what are necessary to provide the best medical care for these patients. And the most important thing is, in my opinion, is to enhance the quality of life. However, there are lots of barriers in this patient pathway to headache care. And most of them is, in my opinion, is misdiagnosis, is inadequate training of healthcare personnel on headache disorders. We have lack of validated algorithm to determine whether a patient should have extensive evaluation of a secondary headache disorders. We have inadequate training of healthcare personnel, patient difficulty accessing imaging or neurodiagnostic testing. We have barriers with fewer therapeutic options. We have lack of health program initiatives to monitor patient outcome. And that all increase the risk and rates of medication overuse in these headache patients. So I think there are lots of improvement that can be done to enhance or improve the access for patients and, of course, lowering the costs.
And when it comes to technology utilization, in what ways can technology be leveraged to enhance the delivery of headache care and make it more accessible to a broader population? What is, in your opinion and experience, the effects of using email or virtual platforms to communicate with patients? Do you think are they useful?
Yeah, we know, and we recently published a paper about that, looking at the use of all these platforms, and we saw that a progressive social media strategy is associated not only with increased online visibility and outreach, but also with a higher scientific interest. So I think that if it's Facebook, if it's Google, if it's Twitter, if it's all these social media, patients try to communicate with each other. We should use these tools. And I think this is also useful to identify gaps and barriers. And we should more or less focus on future research that should be assess the range of available information on headache disorders in electronic media. I think this could be a strategy also for European Headache Federation to improve our communication on internet-based communication platforms. And I'm sure that in turn, these efforts will reduce the burden of headache disorders by facilitating improved education of both patients and providers. And the next step is also how we can use the technology in clinical practice. Of course, as neurologists, we have to examine the patient. Of course, it's necessary to do a narrative-based medicine. That means that the narrative is the most important thing besides the examination. And if we have the time, the money, and the all the possibilities that we have, including social medias, then we can do, of course, this narrative via, let me say, all these social medias that are well known. As an example, recent studies have demonstrated that the most popular online content on migrant management is not evidence-based and is disseminated by a for-profit organization. So this is the other side. If you have profit organizations, they put videos on YouTube that has nothing to do with evidence-based medicine. So we should be carefully approach the steps and use specialized social media to enhance our visibility, to enhance the knowledge, to enhance the education, and also, in my opinion, enhance the possibility to communicate with the patients on an easier way. Otherwise, the patient has to come to the tertiary headache center, have to make an appointment, have to wait 4-6 months whatsoever. And when you look at all these other possibilities that we can see, this, the systems of care vary considerably between and within countries. And it's also depending on differing availability of human and financial resources. And additionally, clinical, social, and political barriers continue to obstruct delivery of care. And in my opinion, the solution lies in integrated and coordinated systems of care. That means structured services in which primary and specialist care complement and support each other, comprehensive referral and linkage system that enable continuity of care between these levels. So that could be combined in all these forms of virtual platforms.
Thank you. And regarding the goal of value-based healthcare is to improve patient outcomes at a lower cost, leading to healthier populations and more sustainable healthcare systems, how could you summarize how value-based care models could be applied to headache care and what outcomes these models aim to achieve compared to traditional care models?
That's a very, very interesting question. In my opinion, it's hard to answer. We recently published a paper in Journal of Headache and Pain with the topic of rethinking headache as a global public health case model for reaching the Sustainable Development Goals. The Sustainable Development Goals are on the agenda of WHO till 2030, and they exactly tried to evaluate these value-based care models. So in my opinion, what is necessary to do so? There should be lots of targets which should be tried to answer. The first one is reducing the burden of primary headaches. This could be done by reducing chronification, reducing barriers, and impact on daily life in a biopsychosocial perspective. The second thing is reducing medication overuse in acute management. So the strategies at primary, secondary, and all these tertiary levels that I showed you or discussed with you before should be done in a care, in a global perspective. And what is also very important is promoting education of healthcare professionals in the management of primary headaches. We should define a feasible methodology to support healthcare facilities development to deliver comprehensive headache care and pathways. So the next step would be defining strategies for access to existing treatments. We know that in lots of low and middle income countries, not all of the pharmacological treatment that are necessary to reduce the burden of the patient are available. Let's think of the monoclonal antibodies or the GPANs. There are areas in the world where they don't have access to aspirin. So let's focus on that. So we have to, how should I say, always measure our outcomes. And we can do this with these value-based care models. But to do so, we have to first define strategies for an inclusive and global alliance against headache disorders among headache healthcare professionals, working parties to respond to public health unmet needs in headache area. If we have done that, then we can say, okay, what are the next goals or aim to go? And the first is, in my opinion, is promoting education. This is, we need to educate our colleagues, we need to educate nurses, but we also need to educate our patients. To sum up, training programs for physicians who manage primary headaches and medication overuse have a positive influence on the way people with headache are treated. That's my opinion.
Thank you very much, Professor Lampo. Finally, regarding policy and advocacy, from a policy perspective, what specific changes would you recommend to enhance headache care? Additionally, how should these changes be prioritized to effectively improve headache management on both national and international levels?
So we have to focus on what is needed to improve the quality of life. We touched in our podcast a lot of perspectives, a lot of possibilities and a lot of barriers that, in my opinion, should be discussed. The strategies for improving this healthcare on both national and international levels is, in my opinion, the following. We should increase the focus on research in undergraduate curricula. We should improve the access to scientific material. We should organize conferences and such this webinar for training of trainers to impact technical expertise, to write scientific paper, data management. We should search for collaboration and consortia between high-income countries and low- or middle-income countries to provide financial support for research and monitoring the progress. On a national level, I think when you have a look on the different countries in Europe and the refound of the monoclonal antibodies, in Austria we are a happy land, because due to these box systems that we have, with red is no go and green is free to go, the monoclonal antibodies are in the green boxes because of research. So we talked to the healthcare professionals and the healthcare providers and said, okay, these are clearly number one, the drugs of first choice in the prophylactic treatment, also to treat the patients, to enhance the quality of life and to reduce medication overuse. So this is on the national levels. So we talked each month to the healthcare authorities. So please help us in that way. So it's done. In Austria, it's done. So we, in an international level, we should, as I said, analyzing the existing assets and improving them. And then we can, in my opinion, enhance the level of a better understanding, what does it mean to have a chronic form of a headache.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Professor Lampo, for joining us today, and stay up to date with the EAN CAS Weekly Neurology.
Thank you, Alicia.
This has been EAN CAS Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN CAS Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.